Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Oh, hey everyone. Oh, God is so good. Oh, He is so wonderful. I've been speaking about Holy Spirit for a while. And last week we stopped with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And just making sure that we all have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that we also, too, really cultivate that, praying in the Spirit, pressing into the Lord. And it's just really important to just heighten our awareness of the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do. So, but anyway, I know I have been working up to the point of talking about the actual gifts of the Spirit, and tonight's the night. Woo! And so, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, is she ever going to get there? Yes! Anyway, tonight's the night, okay? But anyway, I just wanted to, I want to read the scripture where it all began, where Paul tells us about the actual gifts of the Spirit, and we're familiar with it, but I think we need to read it tonight. So it's in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, and I'm just going to quickly read it. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another the various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills." So I wanted to start off with that scripture because it's important to start where it's actually written in the Word. And tonight, I have this wonderful book. This is the book I grew up on, The Holy Spirit in You. And I don't know if anyone in here has ever read it, but it's an outstanding book written in the 70s. When there was an outpouring of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on all denominations. And these are, he was an Episcopal priest, and God baptized him with the Holy Spirit, changed his life forever, and he wrote this book, he and his wife wrote this book, and they had a very much a charismatic ministry, and it's meat and potatoes when it comes down to the gifts of the Spirit. It is just plainly written and well done. So I'm going to be using a lot of the text from what they say in here because it's just good stuff. They break up the gifts into, there's nine gifts of the Spirit, and they break them up into three sections because you've got the ones that are the saying gifts, the doing gifts, and the knowing gifts. So the first three that I'm going to talk about tonight is the power to say gifts. It's the inspirational or fellowship gifts. And that's the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, and the gift of prophecy. So I'm going to cover those tonight. I also, next week, I'm going to cover the other ones because they're all interconnected. But the gifts of power, which is the power to do, those are the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. And then the gifts of revelation, which are the power to know, it's the discerning of spirits, the word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom. So, as I said to you guys last week, that all the gifts of the Spirit were manifest in the Old Testament except tongues. That happened with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, and it is part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, and that's the tongues and interpretation of tongues. I wanted to Paul, he gives a corrective word to the Corinthians. There was a lot of party spirit in the church. There was pride in the exercising of the gifts, and in the gift of tongues particularly. There were people just, they were flowing in the gifts, but it was very, very disorderly. And there was a misunderstanding about the tongues, the gift of tongues. And so you had people getting up in the services, just spouting off in their language, you know, their tongues, and with no interpretation. And so it, you know, when you do that, nobody knows what you're talking about, okay? You know, when you have an inspired utterance by Holy Spirit for you to speak in tongues, you know, you're moved on by the Holy Spirit to speak out in a tongue in a public setting in the church, and then there should be someone that can stand up and give an interpretation. Now, I think it's interesting that Paul says, you know, he speaks in tongues more than anyone, but he desires that, or he says he desires that all prophesy, because prophecy, you know, you're hearing what is being said. He's not diminishing tongues with an interpretation of tongues. And I want to get into kind of the breaking down kind of how it all works. Because in our church in Omaha, the tongues and interpretations worked in our church. That was something that the Holy Spirit did. And so I wanted to talk about kind of like the mechanics of it, because I'm all about how does it work, you know, and so I want to make it plain and simple. One of the things that I did want to say is, you know, Paul was getting after the Corinthian believers, you know, about the exercising of tongues during the corporate meeting, without it being in an orderly way, but he wasn't trying to discourage them from moving in the gifts. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. He wasn't trying to shut down, you know, tongues as long as there was an interpretation. And he said that if there's not one to interpret, then you wouldn't give a public tongue. But he did say to pray for the interpretation yourself. So, but anyway. So I'm going to move on, because I'm going to give you a little bit more like the meat and potatoes of it. But I wanted to read this in the Holy Spirit in You, because it really was a real great way to understand how confusing things can get if it's not done in the right fashion and if you don't understand how it works, okay? He said, or they give you kind of a synopsis of Paul maybe talking to us in a contemporary setting. And so he says here, my brothers and sisters, I hear there are divisions among you, for I hear some of you saying you are of Luther and others of Calvin, still others that you are of Peter or of Wesley. Is Christ divided? Was Wesley crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of the Episcopal Church? Then Paul would turn to the charismatic group, some of them anyway, and say something like this: my dear brethren, I am so delighted to hear and see the wonderful gifts of the Spirit manifested among you. I couldn't understand where they had gone when I was with those other churches, but please, did that brother have to shout quite so loudly? I saw someone walk out of the meeting when he did it. You had a public meeting and invited unbelievers, and then all of you spoke in tongues at the same time with no explanation. Did that show love and concern for your visitors? I am sure some of the people you were trying to reach thought you were crazy. Remember that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, won't you? And I read that just because order is so important with the exercise of the gifts, and any gifts of the Spirit. And we have to remember that we are under the umbrella of our pastors, and our pastors are accountable to God, and they have, you know, there's a way that things are done in our church body, because they are accountable to God to make sure that things are done decently and in order. And so we are under the authority of our pastors in the exercise of the gifts. Now, they want us to move in the gifts. They're not trying to inhibit us from moving in the gifts. But there is an order to things. And so one of the things I wanted to say just as a side note, and I'm going to get into a little bit more is if you are used in the utterance gifts, be very, very careful about what you're saying in your everyday living, okay? Because bitter water and sweet water should not be pouring from the same well. Okay, we have a well of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we're responsible for our words. And so if we want to stand up in a public meeting, in our services, in a corporate setting, and be used by Holy Spirit to say these things, we need to make sure that what we're saying outside of the church is what we need to be saying. Does it line up with God's word? Remember that all the gifts of the Spirit, they're for the benefit of us all corporately when we're here together. They don't all, you don't have to be in a corporate setting for them all to function. But when I'm talking about tongues and the interpretation of tongues, there's usually you're either in a corporate setting or maybe you're in a prayer meeting with other believers, and you can have that operation where you'll have Holy Spirit inspiring you to speak out in a tongue, and there would be someone, either you or somebody else, who would interpret. And I want to give you, when we lived in Omaha, our church in Omaha, they functioned in, that was one of the gifts that was functioning at the church. And basically, it would happen where there would be someone that was inspired to speak out in a tongue, and it was usually during the praise and worship time. There was room in the service because they had, you know, they had a certain order for things to happen, and they made time during the worship time. They would just kind of linger in that time, and then some of these gifts would start to manifest during that time frame, because that is what the order was, you know, in that body of believers. That was an established order, which we need an established order for things to happen. And so what would happen is you'd have someone stand up, and they would, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they'd speak out a public tongue. And then you'd have another person that would stand up with the interpretation. It was usually encouraging. It might be an exhortation. I heard one time when it was a very negative and coarse word, and we were in between pastors at that time. So they had guest ministers coming in, and we went to an Assemblies of God church, and we had a board. And so it was interesting, because I'm just paying attention and learning, you know, someone, you know, stood up and gave this interpretation to the tongue. And it just didn't jive. You know, it was kind of like, you know. And, well, an older board member of that church, and I would say he was in his either late 60s or early 70s, he stood up and he said, "That's not right." And he brought a correction to it. And I say that because when you are speaking out in those utterance gifts, it has to come from love, agape love. So the motivation for speaking it out needs to come from that place of love. And love and concern for everyone in the fellowship of believers, you know. But it's that agape love that needs to, it'll temper it and make it where it's supposed to be, you know. But that person just, I don't know if they just had a negative view of the of things or whatever. But it's important that whatever utterance is given, it lines up with the word. It always, as I said, points back to Jesus. And if it doesn't, then there's something wrong. In the being used in the utterance gifts, you don't have to be, you don't have to sound like God. I mean, you know, really, thus saith the Lord. You know, I mean, you don't have to do that. You just flow with the Holy Spirit and let Him speak through you. And also, one thing I wanted to say is that, you know, you can have a tongue that could be like for like a pretty good length of time. Somebody could stand up, say maybe a minute or two, the tongue is, you know, they're just, you know, in tongues. And then you have the other person that stands up to give the interpretation, and it's just this really short blurb. And you're like, well, was that right? Well, yeah, because it's an interpretation. It's not a translation, okay? They're interpreting. It's a different thing. So when we're called to evaluate, when you have those utterance gifts corporately like that, and they need to be given corporately, and you need to evaluate it. I'm trying to think what I was going to say with that. We all have to make sure that it lines up with the Word. And being in a corporate setting, there's safety in that, you know. And that's basically... I was saying about the shortness of an interpretation as opposed to when you're evaluating or make, you know, you're testing that word that has come forth. Again, it has nothing to do with the length of the time the person spoke in tongues and the length of the time that the person spoke in English to give the interpretation. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with, okay, did what was spoken line up with what the Word says? And it always goes back to that. So a lot of times it's an encouraging word. God is so encouraging. But there's other things that He can say to us too. Let me see here. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. And it goes back to we need to make sure that there's someone who will interpret if with that moving of, you know, with tongues and interpretations, and we need to pray for that. You know, that shouldn't be something that's not something that's an abnormal thing to happen in your church service. And I know some of you, you know, this is like, well, yeah, duh, because you've been in meetings and things where this flows, but some of you may have not seen the tongues and the interpretation of tongues in the public corporate setting. And I'm just trying to give you kind of the basic kind of what my experience has been with it, you know. And it's something that we need to pray about. One of the things I would say is that when you have tongues and the interpretation of tongues, it has the same effect as prophecy, okay? That's something to remember also. And again, Paul is all about, you know, speaking in tongues is great, but for the corporate setting, the most benefit is when you have an interpretation. Because we need to know, if I'm speaking out in this, in my tongue, and there's no interpreter, it's like we're foreigners. You know, you don't understand the language I'm speaking, you know, and it's not a benefit to us in the corporate setting, and we need that. Let's see here. I wanted to go back here real quick. There's four types of tongues. It's a sign for unbelievers. It's for interpretation, it's for personal prayer, and it's also for intercession. So I want to go over some of those. The sign for unbelievers, let's see here. Paul is saying, he says in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 14, he said, "But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man or gifted man enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you." And that's with the gift of tongues and interpretation. But just tongues alone is really for the unbeliever, and it gets their attention that, hey, you know, that maybe there is a spirit being that's higher than I don't realize. But then with the interpretation, it may cause them to have that, you know, on the inside conviction that I need to change my life or do whatever I need to do to change. The gift of tongues and interpretation may bless, it may be a message from God to bless, encourage, or exhort his people. Exhortation is, you know, it's calling us up to a higher place. It can be corrective, but it's not going to be in a harsh way. It is like a dad correcting his kids, you know, and a dad's not out there going, you know, you need to get your life together. I can't believe you did that again and again. You know, God doesn't come off in that grading sort of a way. So when there's an interpretation, it should follow agape love. And so as that perfect love that Father has for us, he's going to tell it to us in the right way, where it's going to convict our hearts, but it's also in love. You know, okay, yes, I need to, you know, not be lazy or complacent or whatever, you know, that he might be saying. I liked what the Bennetts had to say in the Holy Spirit and You, and they said this in regards to prophecy as well as, you know, tongues and interpretation of tongues, that there should be, you know, at least two times more of the encouraging sort of words to one of the, you know, corrective sort of things. So, you know, you're not going to be coming into a meeting and always being hammered, you know. It's an encouragement. God's calling us up to this higher place, you know, but there's a, you know, he's not going to be bashing us. The other thing I want to say is that all the gifts have a satanic counterpart and or a counterfeit. And with the like the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, you can have somebody that can stand up and do some strange, weird thing. And just, you know, do some sort of like I don't even want to even attempt to do anything weird, but, you know, in some sort of a strange, what they would say, a language which is demonic, you know. So it can be counterfeited, and the interpretation can be counterfeited. But the nice thing is in the corporate body, you have people that are, you know, that are going to, you know, stand up and say, no, that's not right. And our pastors would do that. They would, you know, say, this isn't the way. But that shouldn't be something that hinders us from moving in that gift, because you don't have to have an expectation that you're going to be used by Satan in the meeting. You're going to be used by God, you know. And so whatever that word that comes forth, you can trust that Holy Spirit has your back. And the thing that I like is that Holy Spirit's like, it's not on you, it's on me, you know. It's about, you know, my power. It's about my word, you know, Holy Spirit. It's about his word. It's about his power. It's about him just needing a voice. He's just needing somebody to say yes. Will you be available to him? And I think that's one of the big things for me, is just making sure I pursue and make sure I'm available to be used. And we need to all do that. We need to be pressing into God and asking us to be used in the corporate gifts. You know, that there's a manifestation of the gifts in our services. We need to press into God and ask him for the gifts. It's something that we all need. One of the things that tongues are also used for are personal prayer. And I wanted to, it's in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And I love to bring context to a scripture, because I could just read you the scripture in verse Ephesians 6, 8. And it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And I could just end it there. But that's not even the whole story. If you back it up in Ephesians it was 18, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6:18 was where that, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. But if you back it up to Ephesians 6:10, where it all began, God's talking about principalities. You know, he's talking about the putting on the armor of God, because we war not against flesh and blood. And so it's in the context of this praying at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit, praying in our language, our praying in tongues. You know, there are times you just do not know what to pray, and you really need to use the gift of tongues. And I know when we lived in Okinawa, I wanted to give you an example of this. There was a time every time of the year, once a year, it was called, I think it was once a year, Obon. And basically, the Japanese people don't worship God, and they would literally go around the entire island, and they would beat these drums, and they were supposedly calling up, they believed that they were calling up the spirits of their dead relatives, because they worshiped their relatives. They believed that they didn't, you know, that they could do that. Well, in our church, I mean, all of us were like on edge. And it was just like, oh, you know. And our pastor explained to us, you know, listen, we got a battle going on, because, you know, what they're doing is they're going around the island and they're beating these drums, and they're not really calling up their dead relatives. It's demonic. And so we would pray in the Spirit, you know, and ask Holy Spirit to help us to pray. And because one of the things when, and this is really timely with Pastor teaching on authority of the believer, you know, we do wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of powers and rulers of darkness. Satan has an army, and it's extremely organized. And in different areas of the country and in different places, there's different principalities and powers and rulers of darkness over different places. So when we lived in Okinawa, when I would pray in the Spirit frequently, I would have an Asian language. It would be a Japanese or a Chinese, I don't even know. And it was warfare. And so, you know, I was kicking devil butt booty, you know, in the Spirit, you know, but I was asking for the assistance of Holy Spirit because I didn't know exactly how to pray. And so that's one of those, that's one of the ways that tongues works in for us, that we need to use tongues for. And I also wanted to talk about using tongues for intercession. And in Romans 8, 22 through 27, and I don't want to read all of it, but it says here, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now I want to skip down and read verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I think it's interesting, you know, we talk about, you know, we have intercessory prayer every Sunday. Well, we try to have intercessory prayer every Sunday morning here. I'm not always as faithful as I need to be meeting. And we do meet in the K4, K5 building. So anyone that wants to come, you don't have to be called to intercede. You know, we're all called to pray. So please come. But we frequently, we're praying in tongues. You know, we get in there, we start praying, we worship the Lord, but we pray in tongues. And, you know, as we're praying along, you know, Holy Spirit, so it'll change to English. Then it'll go back to tongues. It'll change to English. Go back to tongues. And it's like, and we you know, Holy Spirit's letting us know what we need to be praying about. I thought this was interesting. Another plug for another book, The Art of Intercession by Kenneth Hagin. It is meat and potatoes Christianity. I don't know if anyone here has read it, but you should get it. It was a life-changing book for me. But basically, I liked what he uses some quotes from a Reverend Wilford Wright, who was had an intercessor's ministry. And he said this, and I loved this. He said, all the creation is groaning and travailing in pain. The ultimate consciousness of pain resides in God because of his perfect love. Through our fellowship with God, we are brought into fellowship with the suffering creation. The Holy Spirit interprets to us God's consciousness of suffering and makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I have to tell you, I've been used in that way. You know, in the middle of the night, Holy Spirit will wake you up to pray for someone. And there's times, sometimes, you know, you can use, you'll pray out in tongues, but then there's times when it is, you're groaning. You can't even, it's not even words that you can seem to form, but it's literally like you're giving birth in the Spirit. If you're available, you know, that's the thing, is being available to Holy Spirit, because he's looking for people, because people need to be prayed for. My mother-in-law was woken up in the middle of the night to pray for a woman who lived in New York. She didn't know her, but the Lord told her the lady was in New York City, and he gave her her first name. And so she would get up in the middle of the night, and she would pray, you know, in the Spirit for this person. And when it turns into that, there's times when it turns into that groaning, it's because you're connecting with God's consciousness, that suffering. And it's like, oh my, because, you know, he keeps, you know, real suffering, we don't really, I mean, we think we suffer, we don't really suffer, I'm telling you. He, you know, he ultimately experienced suffering for us, And but he'll give us a little taste of it so that we can pray through something. You know, it's almost, it's a partnership with him. Can you help me pray about this tremendously burdensome situation to me? That's how, that's God speaking to us. Will you pray? Will you help me? Will you, you know, he reaches out to us and asks us. And so that happens with, you know, and then you can start praying in your tongues, you know, but then sometimes it turns into a groaning that you just, you can't even put it into words. It's just coming out in this groaning and you're travailing for someone. I want to move on. Let me see. I did like if we go back to likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, and the word helpeth, and I think I've talked about this before. It was a Greek translation of that is to take hold against together with. And so basically, the Holy Ghost takes hold against our sicknesses together with us. So again, that goes back to that partnership with Holy Spirit. You know, we get in partnership in prayer with Holy Spirit when we're praying in the Spirit, not, and it can be for ourselves, but it also can be for others. And so that's another way tongues are used. And now I wanted to point this out too. The Bennetts talked about a time in a meeting where they were, they were having their service, and there was a lady in the back, and she was praying, just praying in tongues, you know, while the meeting was going on. Well, there was a lady in front of her who was Asian, and she was a Buddhist. Well, she didn't know it, but she was literally speaking to that woman. And basically, she was sharing the gospel with that. She didn't know. She was just praying in the Spirit in the back, you know, quietly, you know, not interrupting the service. But the person in front of her heard. And it was, and this lady apparently, she talked in her dialect that was not like anything common at all. And it so convinced the lady because, I mean, she basically spoke the entire, you know, spoke to her, you know, in her language and told her about Jesus, and she accepted Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. And I know you guys have probably heard of those kinds of things before where, you know, you just feel compelled to speak, you know, or like, you know, praying and somebody's nearby and you're literally, you know, speaking, you're speaking to them, you know, and saying things from God to them. I wanted to talk about prophetic utterances tonight also. And I want to distinguish between the gifts of the gift of prophecy with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and then there's also the ministry of a prophet. And that's in, I wanted to point that out, in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28. That's the Father God appointing ministries in the church. And, you know, first apostles, and, you know, he goes through the whole list. And there's people who have ministries of prophecy because they're called to that. But we're talking about the gift of prophecy that the Holy Spirit gives us, you know, that we can be used in. It goes back to that scripture in 1 Corinthians 14, 5, where Paul says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And he says that because he wants to make sure that we get, you know, what it's beneficial to us, you know. It says here, one who speaks in verse 4, he says, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy, and greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? And again, he's going back to, you know, what is going to benefit all of us, you know, not an unknown tongue that somebody just, you know, speaks and there's no one to interpret, but prophecy we can understand, okay? Now, prophecies for believers, tongues are for unbelievers. Again, what I said was before that, you know, when you have that, a prophetic word can lead an unbeliever to Christ. But prophecy is for the church body, the believers, okay? Paul says that prophecy is the greatest benefit to the church, and there are three ways Scripture tells us in which prophecy ministers to believers. It's for edification, exhortation, and comfort, or the building up, urging on, and consoling. And again, I had talked about how most of prophecy is going to be more of a an encouraging nature, but, you know, obviously there'll be occasional times when God will want to may bring a corrective word, but again, it comes back as a dad, a loving father would do. If you're getting a corrective word, it's really calling you up to a higher place. It's encouraging you to rise up out of the, you know, whether it be, whatever it is, say complacency. You know, he's calling you up to a higher place. Not, hey, let's not be complacent. I've got so many good things for you to be doing, you know. It's not going to be harmful or unloving. And I also wanted to say that prophecy is not fortune telling. We're not going, oh, looking into the crystal ball, you know, God, what's coming up? You know, can you show me the future? It's not that. I know pastors said that prophecy confirms what you already know a lot of times. And I think that's more when you're doing the ministry of prophecy. I think that, you know, I did want, in 1 Thessalonians 5:20-22, it says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. And I wanted to just take a moment to say that we, when it says that we're not to despise prophetic utterances, that means we're not to, supposed to ignore them. And that prophecy, it's the gift of communicating and enforcing revealed truth. I love the way that's said, and that's Strong's, that's the Strong's translation for prophecies. It's the gift of communicating and enforcing revealed truth. So again, whatever that is prophetically said, you know, prophetically I'm using quote unquote, it has to pass the test. And so what is that test? Does it line up with God's word? Does it point back to Jesus? You know, and I like that we have, is it edifying? Does it exhort? Does it comfort? You know, these are the kinds of things that we need to look at. Those are those parameters that we need to do. And we all need to evaluate it. I love Pastors Allen and Marsha, but they want us to evaluate it just like they will evaluate it. They've taught us and trained us to be mature believers. And so, you know, you need to evaluate what you're hearing. You're testing it because you want to make sure that it's approved. Was it edifying? Was it, you know, comforting? Or was it, you know, how did it go, you know? And I like that it also says we're to test everything. So every word, every part of it, we're to test every part of it. Not just, you know, a portion of it, but all. Let's see. And again, that in 1 Corinthians 14:30, verse 32, it says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And I like that in, let me back it up, in verse 31, it says, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Paul, again, when he talks about prophesying one by one, he's talking order in the service. You know, we're not supposed to you know, be rude. You know, if there is going to be a prophetic utterance, you know, it needs to be done in an orderly fashion and in the time of the service that, you know, it should be given, you know. But the other thing I would say is, and when Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church, And I think he would, and we can say this with ourselves, is if there's all, you know, tongues and interpretation and prophecy and, you know, you spend an hour doing that and then you don't get to the word, you're out of order. Because the word of God is most important. You know, God does want to speak to us through these gifts of the Spirit, but it's in balance and it's in order. And Paul gives us an criteria, you know, one or two, three at the most. You know, we don't, you know, you're not going to monopolize the whole service with these utterance gifts. And so I'm going to stop with that, and then because it's eight. And I'll get to the rest of the gifts next week. Surprise! You know, I finally got there. But anyway, so let's pray. Father, we just love and praise your name. And we just thank you, Father God, that you're teaching us. Father God, and also you're just awakening things in people that have been dormant. I thank you, Father God, that, Lord, that you kindle the fire in our hearts, Father God, in these places that were in operation before, that maybe they've been in dormancy for whatever reason. I'm just asking you right now to just light a fire in your people, God, in each and every one of us. We have a part to play, Father God, in this body of believers, and we each need one another. This is what you say. This is the way it works. And I'm asking you, God, to just set a fire in our hearts and that we have a desire, Father God, to pursue these gifts. And it's for the edification of us all, for the building up of us all. And I thank you for it, Father God. I just ask you to bless everyone tonight. And I thank you, Father God. We just love and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.